Welcome to the Happiness First Radio Show, where you learn to consciously create the life you want. Your host, Lorraine Gordon, an expert in law of attraction and present moment awareness, along with her expert guests, give you the tools you need to focus your attention and thoughts to create your best life. And now, here's your host, Lorraine Gordon.
Welcome. You're listening to Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach of Your Happiness Way Radio. And if you're a regular listener, then you know that the information and the guests that I bring you is to help you create a happier and more love-filled life, a more abundant life in every way, including all of the material things that you want. And you may know that I certainly love my material goodies. And then you know, of course, that I teach that these add to your life, but they do not make your life. Well, this show must be working because after 3 years, you have helped make this in the top 10% of its kind. And I want to thank you for not only listening, but also telling your friends and suggesting that they listen. I know your time is valuable, and I want to thank you for spending it with me and the expert guests that I bring you. And today I have a really important show in store for you, and it's all about communication. And I think that you're going to agree that good communication skills are necessary for almost everything we do in life. After all, if we can't be understood, it's pretty hard to make our way in the world. We can't express to another how we feel. We can't make a sale. We can't close a deal. And we don't really have a way to persuade another to see or understand our point of view if we can't express it properly. We must communicate effectively to convey a situation and to resolve differences. And we need those skills to build trust with others. And even if we're very creative, we can't get the message across. And when we're misunderstood, it causes conflict and, of course, frustration. This is true both in our professional relationships and our personal relationships. And I'm sure if you have kids, you know that effectively communicating with them is imperative in order to be a good, solid parent. Today's guest is an expert in communication. Her name is Risha Baker, and she's an author, speaker, and empowerment coach. Risha is the next generation thought leader. She is a licensed practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming and an expert with over 10 years of experience in the science of positive communication. Risha always knew that words held a phenomenal power, and she believes that positive words not only has the ability to transform the mind, but they are magical things energized with the ability to create. And with that, I want to bring her on and let her tell you a little more about herself. Risha, are you there?
I am, Lorraine. Thank you so much for having me on your show. This is such an honor.
Well, thank you for coming. You know, I'm very intrigued. Just for those of you listening, Risha and I met. We were both speakers at a Law of Attraction event in Palm Springs, and I was so impressed with the way you handle yourself, Risha, and the beautiful, poised way in which you speak. And that was before I really even knew what your show and what your message was all about. So I'm really happy to have you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Lorraine. Yeah, that was a really fun time. It was my first time actually out in California, believe it or not. And yeah, it was great meeting you as well. It was such a short period of time being out in California. I wish I could have spent more time out there. Man, those mountains were gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Palm Springs is magical, isn't it? Really magical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. And, of course, if you were to come into the other areas, the, you know, the L.A. area, or I live out towards Santa, you know, Westlake Village towards Santa Barbara, it's green and lush. So Palm Springs, of course, is the desert. It's very different as you travel a few miles, yeah, you know, west. Risha, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how, you know, I understand you were not born here. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I was born in Trinidad, which is a small Caribbean island off the coast of South America. Trinidad and Tobago, it's two islands, one nation. And I I lived there until I was about 5 years old. Then I moved with my family to New Jersey, which is where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Atlanta, Georgia for the past 4 years. And so, but I'm primarily, I call myself a Jersey girl. And, you know, but I'm still deeply rooted in my culture and my land of the Caribbean island of Trinidad. I go back and visit quite often. And, of course, I go back to New Jersey a lot, too.
And how did you get involved with, you know, not only neurolinguistic programming, which, of course, I'm familiar with and also licensed in, but how did you get into what you're referring to as positive communication?
Well, the funny thing is, this is something that's always been pulling at my heart from a very young age. And the whole realm of reporting and words and being an anchor woman on television is something I grew up around because I'm the youngest of five kids. So I grew up sort of like the only child. So I spent a lot of time with my mom watching the news with her. And I fell in love with the poise and the sophistication that the anchor women represented on television. And so I wanted to become a reporter. But even before that sparked any interest in my mind, as a young child, I used to manifest things, not even realizing what I was doing. I had developed the positive, I suppose, habit of saying affirmations to myself in front of the mirror, and developed a relationship with myself in terms of understanding and being more comfortable in my skin, even as a child. And I developed this habit of saying affirmations and talking into existence the things that I wanted. And I thought I was the only one that had this power, not realizing that other people possess this power too. But I know I was fixated with using positive words, and the words that I'd use would create things that I wanted.
Right.
And situations that I wanted. So fast forward some years, I finally decide that, you know, I want to follow in the footsteps of my shero, Oprah. I'm going to become an anchor woman and have my own show one day. Well, I finally made it into a newsroom, got there and realized that I didn't want to be there at all.
You didn't.
Because I did not. Because as with daily news, you know, ordinary daily news, it was a lot of negativity, a lot of negative news that needed to be sorted out and projected out into the world. And it damaged my spirit. So I still knew I wanted to use a platform to change the world and to empower humanity as a whole, but it was not in that direction becoming a reporter.
This is interesting to me because, you know, you became a manifester, and many people think of manifestation as, you know, to use an old word, magic. It's magical. And, you know, coming from the islands, we always think that, you know, a lot of stuff is practiced there that might be very magical. Did you get anything from your culture in terms of that?
No. Are you talking about like voodoo?
Well, actually, I think I was talking about juju or voodoo or black magic.
Juju.
Any of those things. But
it's so funny.
But you
my
know,
mom was just talking about that recently. She was making a joke about something someone had said to her. But no. The funny thing is, I grew up in the culture here. I grew up in New Jersey, so none of that was ever, you know.
Even though your parents are from the islands.
Yeah, right. That wasn't talked about in my home or anything like that. In my family, the juju stuff, that was never something that, you know, we grew up talking about too much. It's more of like a joke around the house because I think a lot of people do, you know, the Caribbean islands and different other islands and stuff, they say like stuff like that. But no. For me, it was more an instinctive thing. It was a very intuitive thing, a very spiritual thing.
I understand, but I do kind of, in a way, believe we're still using it's still a similar power. It's that thought and intention create. And so I think it might look different. I mean, this is my own personal opinion. It may look different on the outside, but it is the magic of the creative ability that we have if we use our thoughts in the correct way. And you and I did it kind of very similar. And I started as a kid too, but I don't think it's all that much different from maybe the same power used for bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But anyway, that's another conversation. I can feel you have some thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The thing is, what I say all the time, and this is sort of my premise with the power of words, you're right. The power of words is a way of getting there. They say that you must shift your thoughts in order to improve your life. And I say, choose better words. Because although we know that our thoughts are, you know, we must shift our thoughts and it has to be in alignment with the vortex of positive energy and vibrations, thoughts are sort of intangible. You kind of have this, like corralling cats. You kind of have to like try to be aware of your thoughts in order to shift them or think a better thought. With words, it's more tangible because it's more audible. We have to sense it, hear it through the eardrums and therefore through our five senses. It's more tangible because we must fix our mouths in a certain way to speak. We have to use our tongue, our lips. And so it's easier for us to catch ourselves saying something with the wrong intentions or to catch what we're about to say and change it. So what I say to people is just a way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more tangible way of getting there.
Yeah, it's kind of it's very interesting. And so let me ask you a question. Let's say you're sitting around and you have nobody to talk to. You're by yourself. So how do you notice what is going on with you if you are not talking?
Well, your thoughts, we talk to ourselves all the time, internal dialogue, right?
Right.
We can't turn that one off. Even our thoughts are comprised of words most of the time.
Right.
So
it's noticing noticing your thoughts.
It's noticing your tone and what you're saying to yourself. And so what I say to people when it comes to self-talk, especially negative self-talk, is realize when you're thinking something, right, and your thoughts are rambling through your mind, it's usually something you're saying to yourself. It's a movie or it's pictures. If it's something you're saying to yourself, you can know that you're going wayward if you start feeling bad.
Right.
If you start feeling bad, that's your moment of realization that should pull you into the, wait a minute, why do I feel this way? Oh, I was just thinking something.
Mm-hmm.
What was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of retract and see, okay, wait a minute, where did this bad feeling stem from? Let me change it. Let me shift it. Let me change the tone in which I just said that to myself.
And of course, and I completely agree with you, but haven't you noticed, and I know that you're a coach for everyone listening, Risha is also a very effective coach. How do you train your clients to learn to notice their feelings? Because I think that here in this country, we are taught to override our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be retaught or re-educate ourselves to notice when we're feeling bad. Because I know as a coach and as a speaker that often I'll have someone come to me and say, you know, I haven't even realized I've been walking around angry for 2 weeks. I didn't even know it until you taught me how to start noticing how I feel. You know?
Yes.
I mean, haven't you heard people say, don't feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. And disregard what is very true for yourself, and then you begin to disregard it for yourself.
All right. You are so right about that, Lorraine. But you know what I do with my clients, and this is actually very effective, and it works. I don't ask them to, at least I stay away from asking them to identify when they're feeling bad, because if we try to go down that road, it's a never-ending winding road, and it gets us nowhere. So what I do instead help them to reprogram their emotions by planting better words into their subconscious mind.
Oh.
And the statement that I use is I tell them to say this statement, which I will share with you shortly, every morning and every evening, and keep saying this to themselves throughout the course of the day, whether they believe it or not. Because what's eventually going to happen is that the subconscious mind is going to hear the repetition of these good words and adopt it, and it will become embedded. And before long, they will start seeing a change in their emotions and change within their lives. And then they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, how did that happen? I feel better all of a sudden. Wow, it's been a long time since I felt like crap.
So it's like a practice. You have them say certain phrases or affirmations morning and night?
Right. So basically, it's a statement that goes like this. I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. That statement right there just totally reverses anything that may have been said to them in an instant at any point in their life that created any type of self-doubt or low self-esteem. I am whole. I am perfect. I am strong. I am powerful. I am loving. I am harmonious. I am happy.
I'm writing it down. That's cool. That's great. So everybody get a pen and pencil and write down what Raisha just said. She said, I am whole. I am perfect. I am strong. I am powerful. I am loving. I am harmonious. I am happy. Well, I feel good just saying it, Raisha.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing about words and how powerful they are, the truth is you can start saying positive words and choosing positive words right now. It doesn't matter where you are in life, even if you don't even believe it yet. Because before long, your subconscious mind, and as we all know, the subconscious mind is way more powerful than our conscious mind. So it'll do the work for us.
And how many times do you tell your clients to say these things in the morning? Just once in the morning, once at night, or many, many times?
They can say it as many times as they want to during the day. But the most important times is in the morning when they first wake up, but there's a little bit more to it. They must go into the mirror, mm-hmm. into the bathroom, mm-hmm. look into their own eyes, mm-hmm. and say this to themselves.
Out loud.
Out loud.
Okay. So they're getting it through all of their senses.
Right. So in the morning in front of the mirror, at night right before they go to bed in front of the mirror.
Wow. And how soon are you seeing changes or shifts for your clients doing this?
I don't work with anyone more than 21 days. Oh. Sometimes even less.
That is fantastic. Why don't you tell us what kind of results you've seen?
Oh, gosh. First of all, when I work with my clients, when they come to me, there are already self-motivated type of people.
Right.
And so they're looking for ways, and usually it's really simple stuff, to basically change the way that they have been doing things for all their lives. And a lot of them come from professional backgrounds or those who are looking to go on and start their own business and things like that. But they're missing, because I work with people specifically, even though I understand the law of attraction and all of that, I work with people specifically on shifting their words and using their words as a catalyst for success and improvement in their life. And so what I do is I work with them with statements and with scenarios that they may be encountering that's hurting them or it's painful for them, or they feel they have blockage in their internal dialogue, and I help give them statements and shift those what has been programmed, and it's really helped them. They've been working at it and just coming back and just letting me know that their perspective has changed. And one person has told me that it's helped them. In 4 days, they were able to make tremendous improvements in their lives.
So this is very interesting. So let me ask you this question. You're saying that somebody comes to you and they say that they have a challenge, something's going on and they have a challenge, and that maybe they're having a problem in their work environment. I'm just going to give you an example scenario. And they're feeling as if they're being passed over. Let's just say mm-hmm. that. And so their self-talk is going something like, well, gee, why is this always happening to me? And I am not being seen. I must be invisible or something like that. What would you have them say to shift that?
And go ahead.
Would you have them discover what they were saying already?
Well, if someone came to me and told me something like that, I would say to them, first of all, don't assume. Because when we assume, we create a whole conversation in our mind that may not even be true.
Right, of course.
And so we start creating fictitious beliefs based upon an assumption. Mm-hmm. So my first rule of thumb is to tell them, don't assume. do not assume. And if they feel like they've been passed up for a promotion and they're not being treated fairly, I would honestly ask them, well, what do you prefer would happen? I would ask them to paint a scenario that would be pleasing to them. And then I would honestly ask them just a series of questions instead of trying to elicit or give them or imply any answers. I would try to allow them to figure a solution out on their own. And then usually a solution would be something like perhaps they should simply go and talk to their boss or talk to HR or something like that. And then I would walk them through, well, what do you think you should say? And then when it gets to that part, I allow them to say what they think that they would like to say. And then I help them tailor that conversation so that it comes across more harmonious, loving, and non-conflicting.
I see. So that this anger isn't being projected and victimization and all those things, which if they would show up at HR with that kind of an attitude, they might get passed over again. Right. I get it.
No, please finish.
I was going to say, they go in and, you know, naturally their way of speaking would be emotionally fueled. So without giving them ideas and without telling them what to think or what to say, I first ask them a series of questions to get them to get it out on their own. So they're using their own thought processes, their own words in their own way. And then when we get to the part where they actually will say, well, this is what I would say if I was in that scenario, that is where I come in and I help them to say what they want to say in a way that will get better results.
I see. So, you know, you're saying, of course, that there is a science of positive communication. Is there actually a science?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about that is, neuroscience, you know, I've had the opportunity after really honing in and saying that I'm going to follow this because I felt like bringing forth and making aware the power of communication and words, especially to the world. I said that I really wanted to do some more research and really make it make sense. Instead of it being more of a whimsical thing,
right?
I knew that there was more tangible evidence there. And so I did a lot of research, talked to neuroscientists and psychologists and things like that, and it narrowed down to what I've discovered is that words, and I suppose you can apply it with everything else, but with words, there's parts of the brain, basically, that is connected to words that we say, that it triggers emotional effects within the brain, or I should say emotional responses, right? And then with our neurological systems, we know that with communication, we perceive words and we perceive communication through our neurological senses. And I'm pretty sure you're aware of this, being a licensed practitioner of NLP as well, that when we communicate, we perceive it according to how we view the world. And so in communication and when we use words, I remember there's a quote by Maya Angelou where she says that one day we'd be able to measure the power of words, and I think that's really true. Have you heard of Dr. Emoto?
Oh, of course. Crystals and water? Yeah. Risha?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I thought I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I thought I lost you too. You know, there was... He passed away recently.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I haven't been informed.
Yeah, he passed away in October.
Wow.
And, you know, of course, he received a lot of criticism from the scientific community and from commentators and things like that because his experiments, scientifically, it's unknown how it worked and how words affected the formations of crystals.
But it did. Did work.
But it did work.
Yeah, it worked. You know? I want to just tell you something. I don't want to give a plug to a coffee pot, but I've got a Keurig coffee maker that holds a reservoir of water, and I have love. Mm-hmm. I have love in one of those little label makers taped on the outside of the water. I definitely believe in infusing my water with love. Why not?
That is so good. You know what? I do the same thing with my bottled water before I drink it.
Yeah. Well, do you do it on little individual bottles, or do you have like a big bottle?
No, individual bottles. So what I'll do, I'll just hold it, and I'll close my eyes, and I would imagine the energy of confidence or love or self-esteem or whatever it is that I want to feel in the moment, energize and go into infuse the bottle of water in my hand, and then I'll drink it.
Oh, great tip number two, everyone. That's wonderful. You don't even have to get your label maker out. Just imagine and send that energy of love into your water. And what is greater than water? We know it bathes every cell, and it's mostly what we're made up of. So, of course. I'm so glad you brought up Dr. Emoto. Did he die of natural causes, or what happened?
You know what? I was looking that up. I'm not sure. It's not said. Huh, it's not written anywhere.
I didn't think he was really elderly, was he?
I believe he was 79 years old.
Oh, okay. Well,
I guess.
But his work lives on.
Yeah.
You know.
For anybody that that's not familiar with him, look him up, and you're going to see a startling array of crystals, particles of water that have formed based on the thoughts that were being spoken to the water. And you will be amazed at the beauty that's created with words like love and what other words? Love and health and kindness.
Harmony.
And beautiful words create crystals that
peace.
Are, And then when you say things like hate and other words like that, you come up with crystals that look cloudy and dirty and dark and germ-ridden. It's so amazing. I think it was probably one of the most groundbreaking studies mm-hmm. done today, you know.
Yeah, and I imagine there's so much more. That's just the brink of the iceberg, you know. That's just the surface, really. I think there are more ways that we can measure the power of words. And just like I was telling you, Lorraine, like we can sense using our neurological systems, you know, with words, we can perceive it through our five senses. And thus, it's a physiological, the way that we are programmed physiologically is to react to words. Otherwise, why would we get happy or sad or depressed or deflated or encouraged? Why? If it wasn't connected, if words didn't affect us, if words weren't powerful, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so true, so true. But of course, I think that as coaches, often we are dealing with situations and beliefs that formed very early on, you know, and sometimes a person may be giving themselves a positive affirmation and a lot of things within may be saying, well, that's not true. They might be fighting it. How do you deal with that when they're saying something positive, but they just are not feeling it?
They're not feeling it. Well, my thing is that keep saying it. That's what I did when I discovered that there was real power to words. I was going through a really hard time in my life. I had lost myself and was very depressed, crying all the time, woke up with a heavy stream of negativity rambling through my mind. Mm. And then when I realized that the power that I once had was real, I fought to get it back. I started saying positive things to myself until it became true, until I believed it again.
So you persist. You believe in persistence, and eventually you'll get there.
I believe that you can, right, I believe that you can reprogram the whatever has been tainted and tarnished within you by planting one positive word at a time. That is why I tell people to say, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. Because even if you don't feel those things, why not give it a try to plant the seeds of those words to replace the ones that you no longer want.
Uh-huh. You know, and of course I hear conflicting remarks about exactly what you're saying, because I've been in this field for 30 years, and I have spoken to psychologists and psychiatrists that would say that might be trying to slap nice paint on top of old rusty paint, something like that. What are your feelings or thoughts in that regard?
when people come to you feeling sad, and as a coach, when people come to you feeling sad and they have a problem that they want to get rid of or they want to become a happier person, they're not, they may be, they don't know what they want. You know, they may, you may think that they need to dig up old past hurts in order to deal with those situations in order to move forward. But the truth of the matter is, that doesn't help anyone. And this is my personal opinion. And this is what has worked for my clients, and this is how I work with my clients, is that it doesn't matter what has hurt you. You want to become better. You want to become happier. So let's start there. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what it is that you desire. Focus on what you want to become. Because our past and what has brought us to a place of pain is only an illusion. Not saying that those things didn't really happen to you. Of course they happened. Of course it was real. It was real when it happened back then. But now, all it is a memory.
Yeah, an old program we might be dragging around with us, recreating moment by moment.
It's a movie that's on replay in your mind.
Absolutely. So I so agree with you, and I want to dig into this deeper. But first, I just want to take a moment for my sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever imagined a life without worries, fears, and problems? What if I told you that you no longer had to live like that? Changes are possible for you through my teachings and affirmations, CDs, DVDs, and apps. Through our book, Peace in the Present Moment, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and I can show you how living in the present moment will change your life. Visit my website, peaceinthepresentmoment.net, and get inspired on my Facebook page of over 73,000 likes.
Hour of the I Am is yours at loaaffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the loaaffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at loaaffirmations.com.
Okay, I'm back again. You're listening to Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach of Your Happiness Way Radio, and my guest, Risha Baker, a licensed practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, and she's an expert with over 10 years of experience in positive communication. Risha, it is so great to have you on the show today, and I want to ask you, we were talking about we don't need to dig up the past in any way to create a new future. Why don't you tell me some more about that?
Well, my point being is that we don't have to dig up old skeletons in order to create the life that we want. Because if the life that we want is glistening, and you can, if you were able to describe it with a color, and it was bright, and it was, you know, this beautiful color, if you looked into your future, it doesn't make sense to take the darkness from the past and splash it upon the beautiful white glistening future that you see for yourself. Even on an all white piece of paper, even if there's a dot of black on it, you notice it right away. And where does your eye focus upon? Not all of the white that's before you, but the little speck of darkness that's there. So what I say to people is, don't bring the darkness from the past into the future that you behold for yourself. So that is why it is important to focus, when you put your intentions and focus on what it is that you want for yourself, and you start there, you will notice that before long, you're focused more on getting better, and you start realizing the visions and the pictures and the movies and the hurt from the past becomes vague and vaguer, and you know, the memories become very vague, and before long, it's not even worth thinking of it.
So much of it, you're really saying, is learning to program yourself with happier habits, happier thoughts, and which is a habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say 21 days. 21 days, it takes 21 days, they say, in order to create a habit, don't they?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, do you think 21 days is the magic number?
I don't know if it's a magic number, but it's scientifically proven, you know, that 21 days is what after someone to create a habit and to break a habit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Studies show that it's 21 days. I'm not sure if that's a divine number or not, but it seems to work.
Yeah, I wasn't really asking that. I really was asking if that was just the, you know, the real number, because I have heard also some conflicting beliefs that it might actually take a little bit longer. So I just wanted your thoughts in that. But and you are saying you keep your clients for about 21 days, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
For about 21 days or, you know, less. It depends on them. But I do have a package that I have for 21 days. And to me, it's kind of that number that I think people could be are more familiar with.
And how often do they talk with you then over this 21 days?
Well, over the 21 days, we talk once a week.
Uh-huh.
And then we have, you know, follow-up and emails, and we correspond and everything like that.
But they have 21 days of, like, homework that they do. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us, is this the way, or do you have other ways that they can use to dissolve their negative self-talk?
Another way that they can use when they're, you know, to dissolve their negative self-talk is watching their tone.
Uh-huh.
They can really watch their tone when they're speaking, because I don't think a lot of us realize the tones that we use when we're speaking to other people, especially ourselves. And when we're having internal dialogues, the thing is, especially when we're saying something chastising to ourselves,
uh-huh,
you may be saying it in a way that is really not very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to tell people is pay attention to the tone that they're using and try to say it out loud. And usually if they're saying something chastising or negative, they say it out loud and they gasp because they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize I was saying it this way.
So it's like brutal the way people talk to themselves.
It's true. Brutal.
It's true.
It's brutal. And so first of all, step to it is the awareness that you're even doing it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of it, okay, then how can you release the power and the effect that that statement has on you? And the way you do that is changing the voice of it, changing the tone. And so I tell them to choose a Disney character and just use the Disney character.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and saying the same tone to that, saying the same statement in a Disney character's voice. And then they realize, then they come to the realization of how silly what they're saying really is.
Yeah, you know, I'm picturing Glinda the Good Witch or something like that. Saying something so really, really mean with that pretty little
so
blonde
that's the
sound.
Thing.
Right.
And that's what usually happens when we get to that part of it. They chuckle just like you just did because they realize, oh, okay. And you know what happens? It deflates and it releases the power of the statement that they say. So a couple things happen there. Number one, they're aware that they were using a certain kind of tone. Number two, they learned a quick technique on how to deflate and release the power of a negative statement and word. And number three, they realize how silly what they've been saying to themselves all this time really is and how unimportant it truly is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So did you start studying neuro-linguistic programming after your sort of dark night of the soul where you were depressed and unhappy? Is that when you started actually studying it?
I was in a really, really good place. I was in the place of knowing that there was more to the power of words and wanted to know what else was out there that could teach me some more.
Mm-hmm. Who did you study with?
I studied with Richard Bandler.
Oh, my goodness. Like, isn't he the one, mm-hmm, isn't he the creator?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you went right to the top.
I had to.
That's very impressive. You know, for everyone listening, I'm sure you'll agree, Risha has a beautiful sounding voice. Is this something that you created, or have you always just sounded so loving? Your voice is very loving and very, very pretty.
You know, it's so funny. I did not work on it. And the thing is, I always cringed when I heard myself talk on the radio.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
That was that,
yeah,
that those self-defeating words that were coming, right?
There you go. Right. And my husband would tell me, the funny thing is he would tell me the same thing. And it wasn't until I actually, like, really listened to it from a that perspective. I took myself out of myself, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And then I was able to hear, like, wow, okay. You know what? It's not so bad.
Well, haven't you ever, like, heard yourself and you didn't know it was you and you thought, wow, that sounds really good. And then you realized you were listening to yourself.
You know what? That did happen one time. And I was listening and I was so in, like, transfixed. Like, wow, this person just sounds really you know,
knows
loving
her,
and awesome.
Knows her stuff, right?
Yeah, I was just like, wow, you know what? I think this person loves me. And then I realized it was me. I was like, okay, well, if this is what the listeners hear, then you know what? It's meant to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure that that's what the listeners hear. Without, of course, going through your own filter. And that, again, is describing exactly what you said to begin with. Everything kind of goes through the filter of our beliefs. But once we become aware of that negative self-talk or that self-talk, that's when we have the power to change it. And so tell us, what is the main thing that people should know about communicating more positively?
People should know that they are so powerful that they can change the world by choosing better words.
Wow.
And they should know that where we really need to begin is in our own homes with our own children. Because imagine what kind of world it would be if we all started speaking more positively in everything that we did, in everything with everyone around us. If the experiments of Dr. Emoto has truth to it, which I do believe it does, and the world is made up of mostly water, and our bodies are made up of mostly water, tell me that's not power.
Well, to me, it definitely is power, but you're speaking to the choir. You know, but I think for the listeners, it's really, really important. So when did you start studying neuro-linguistic programming? Was this before the newsroom or after the newsroom?
It was after the newsroom.
Aha, that's when your career. Now, when you decided that you were in the wrong field after studying and getting yourself into the newsroom, which isn't an easy thing, is that when that depression kind of fell upon you?
It fell upon me while I was still there.
Ah, because of what you were listening to all the time, the negativity in that newsroom.
Yeah, not only that, but the fact that I was part of putting that kind of news out.
Ah, and so it was so against your spirit.
It was against my spirit and everything I believed in.
Now, I get kind of maligned in my own house because I'm not as topical as I could be, simply because I, like you, I do not like that news as a background noise. So the end of the day can come and I may not realize that something monumental has occurred that isn't necessarily good, a plane crash, a bomb, something, my husband will come home and say, you don't know? And usually I don't know. It has to come to my attention in some other way. How do you stay topical and informed without bringing yourself down?
Through other people who will bring it to my attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Next time, when my husband gets home tonight, I'll have him call you. How's that?
Yeah. You know what? It's so funny. But it's the truth. Through other people who tell me, may mention it. And the thing about that is, when it comes through someone that I know, it's not as pervasive.
Or as injuring. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. As turning on the news and watching it and the images and, you know, it's back-to-back and it's constant, reoccurring, and the repetition of it is what's particularly not good.
That's so true, and even if they're not repeating the same story, which they do incessantly, it's one unhappy story after another, back-to-back, which is tough. Mm-hmm. You know what I just realized as you're talking, and you're, power of words. When I listen to someone who is angry, if they are firing off a series of either negative words or profanity, in an angry way, it actually hurts my ears. It does. It hurts my ear, or I think it hurts my ears, and it hurts my heart. So is that something that it does to everyone, only it just we're just not necessarily aware of it? I mean, it is painful when you hear it, even if it's not, I'm not even talking about it being directed at me, just when someone is very angry and they're punctuating every sentence with some kind of a profanity with a lot of strength, it is actually painful.
You know what? Have you ever walked into a room and knew that the vibe wasn't right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I grew up that way.
Yeah, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. What it sounds like to me is, because I know what you mean, it doesn't physically hurt my ears, but it does, I feel the pain of it.
Uh-huh.
That's the release of energy, because words are things. It is generated through energy just like we are, and so that's why we're able to feel it. And some words have lower energy than others. Words like hate has a low energy frequency. Words like love has a high energy frequency. But the thing is, they both have the same effect on polar opposites. One has a negative polar effect than the other. One has a really great positive effect. So when someone says something negative and is fueled with the intentions of hate and anger, that energy is like a powerful force that basically creates a ripple effect that spreads far and wide, just like throwing a small pebble into a body of still water.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether or not that pebble is a loving pebble or a hatred type of pebble, because whether it's good or bad, it still has the same ripple effect.
Right. The power is the same. Absolutely. Yes. So it doesn't matter if you're being heard. Just those feelings and those words ripple out whether you're in front of an audience of 5,000 or you're just sitting having your own cup of coffee in your own home. So this takes some discipline, doesn't it, Risha?
It takes discipline. It does take discipline, because it's so easy to allow yourself to say words that are fueled with anger when you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you get nowhere with it. If you can take the time to realize, wait a minute, I'm angry, so I'm about to say something hurtful. Let me take a deep breath and let me choose better words.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're angry and you're choosing better words, you will find that the outcome is still a peaceful, more harmonious outcome, as opposed to choosing words that are fueled with the energy of hate and anger in that moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, the law of attraction tells us that if we're sending out love, more love comes back to us. We're going to create fewer and fewer, find ourselves in fewer conflicting situations.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, it boomerangs. So not only are you spreading and throwing a pebble into a body of water that's rippling far and wide, it's boomeranging right back to your own spirit. So the words that you're implanting upon another, you're implanting within your own spirit as well.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, did your mother give you some of this? Did you learn some of this in the household in terms of the inspiration that you're sending out to the world?
No.
No.
Lorraine,
okay.
Let me tell you, these are things that I always instinctively knew.
Mm.
I can't tell you why I knew these things,
mm-hmm.
but I've always knew these things from a very, very young child.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, in my environment growing up, I was able to just observe what should have been done instead, or what should have been said instead.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's interesting.
That's why I'm telling you. That's why I believe that this is my destiny, is to help raise the awareness of the power of words, because this is something I didn't just fall upon one day. This has always been within me.
Uh-huh. You were born with it. You know this is your destiny, your mission. This is why you're put here. It's your purpose.
This is my mission.
Absolutely.
It's my mission.
I can feel it. And so what do you think positive speaking will do for the world?
It will elevate the vibrational frequency into more of a loving and heightened elevation, which is the type of, Here's the thing, before I go rambling on, the universe and God I use interchangeably because to me it's the same thing. In order to communicate with God, we have to be in alignment with God. God communicates with us through energy because God is energy. So when we are in alignment with God, we must be in a vibrational frequency of love, peace, and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get into that high vibration frequency to be in connection and alignment with God on a consistent basis, we need to use words that are more in alignment with love, peace, and harmony. So if more of us can start speaking more positive, it's going to change more than just our spirit. It's going to change those around us and spread like ripples in a lake, mm-hmm. in a body of water, far and wide, and affect other people too. It's going to bless other people, and it's going to boomerang right back to us. And it's going to elevate the continuous expansion of the universe in the right direction. The universe is going to continue expanding whether we want it to or not. But in the direction in which it expands is what we need to be concerned about.
Right.
So what I want is to people to know that they can change their lives by speaking more positively. But most important, more importantly than anything else, is that I want us as adults who have children is to encourage them to choose better words when they're speaking to. Because the way that we speak to our children is what's going to become their internal voice when they become adults.
Right, right.
And so if we can change the way that children speak and encourage them to speak more positively, they're going to be more successful and happy human beings. And when they have children, it's inevitable that their children will become even greater speakers than they, so on and so forth. And then what a wonderful world it will be.
Mm-hmm. I am so in alignment with the way you're thinking. And who are your inspirations besides Oprah, Risha?
Oh, gosh. MLK, Martin Luther King Jr.,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou, Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
Off top, those are my three, I think, that I think about. Marianne Williamson, mm-hmm. I do love her as well. Her prayers are so magical.
Beautiful.
I don't know where she comes up with those things, but she does. I love T.D. Jakes. Yeah.
And
off
so
the top, that's
are you a regular listener or reader of the information, the books, and the history of most of these people?
Yeah.
Don't you agree that what we surround ourselves with in terms of what we listen to, what we watch on television, also has a huge impact on us aside from our words?
Absolutely.
Because I think that, you know, all of this takes a little discipline because as you discussed earlier, it is a ripple effect. And when we walk out into the world, unless we're discerning, it's pretty easy to pick up some of that negativity that's out there. So that's why it's nice to surround yourself and to really immerse yourself in the types of information and the types of people that you're speaking of.
That's why there's free will. It's out there. You choose what you want to do. Are you really about change? If so, then it will be a reflection in your life. It'll be in everything that you do.
Do you have
but
any?
If you're just, yeah, go ahead.
We're just about out of time, Risha, but I want to ask, do you have any tips that you can share with the audience?
I would say, just like I shared with you earlier, I think this is a perfect place to start. If you have negative self-talk, catch yourself saying whatever you say that is chastising and change the voice to a Disney character and allow yourself to see the difference in how it feels. And that'll also help you. Every time you think about that thing that's chastising, it's totally going to change the way that you say it and the way you feel about it.
Such a great idea.
Yeah. And also change, when you're talking to people, say what you want to say to yourself and see how it feels to you before you say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. And again, it takes some discipline.
Yeah, it does take discipline. I mean, if you want change, honestly, Lorraine, and you know this, we know this, if you want to change it, it does take action.
It totally does. It totally does. So for everyone out there, I am going to have more information about Reisha on whatever page you're using to listen to this on, and it could be one of 30 places you may have found this show. You'll be able to get in touch with Reisha at reishabaker.com. That's R-E-I-S-H-A-B-A-K-E-R.com. Or just go here to, once again, wherever you're listening, and I will have all of Reisha's information there so you can find out more about her. And she's graciously offered us a 30% discount on her affirmation t-shirts. And you can use the discount code YOURHAPPINESSWAY. And I will, once again, I will have the code and the link there for you on the page. So, Reisha, I want to thank you so much. I think I'm going to call you the resident radio angel, because that's what you remind me of, an angel.
Oh, that is so sweet, Lorraine.
Well,
thank you.
You are so sweet. You should be, I just picture you with wings. I really do. You're just so sweet, loving and genuine. So thank you so much for what you've offered today. I think you probably have helped many people just with that statement alone. The first statement, and I think we should say it together, Reisha. I am.
Okay.
So let's one, whole. Two, three. I am whole. I am perfect. I am strong.
I am
powerful. I am loving. I am harmonious. I am happy.
And I am happy.
I love it. Thanks, Reisha. I just hope that you can come back and be a guest another time. And once again, everyone can get those t-shirts right here on my website. And for all of you listening, I know that you want to be happy and enjoy peace of mind. And I promise you that you can. You can be happy and enjoy all of the things that you want in life. You deserve to enjoy and to feel confident and secure and happy. And you've gotten a lot of valuable information on this show, particularly, that will help you to make happiness practices simple. But to make these practices stick and to make them work for you, you really have to start with a calm and peaceful mind. And for that, I'm giving you a free guided meditation that will bring you into that place of peaceful clarity. That's when you're aware. That's the place where you can choose happiness. And a quiet, peaceful mind has access to higher wisdom and inspiration. So go ahead and click the link that says Lorraine's Gifts or subscribe at LorraineGordon.com and be sure to fill your days up with uplifting and inspirational information. That's how to have a great and happy life, I promise you. And when you subscribe, you're going to begin to get something I call Successful Sunday Starts. And this is inspiration to start your week off right. And every Sunday morning, you will receive my Successful Sunday Starts. And you'll also get advance notice of some free teachings on a program that I am just launching. It's called Happiness First, Riches Will Follow. I promise you, these teachings will change your life. And once you make true consciousness a part of you, you really can't go back. And that's what you want. Add to your happiness by helping others to get inspiration too. Your comments will help others to want to listen to the show. They could hear exactly what they need to lift their life and even change their life just because they read your comments. And also, of course, it helps me to bring you more of what you want. So send me an email, Lorraine@LorraineGordon.com. I want to give you what you want. I want to give you what you need. This is Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach. I see you having your best life. And you need to see it too and make it a reality. I'll be back with you next week. Same time, same place. Namaste and bye for now.
You've been listening to Happiness First, The Rest Will Follow, with Lorraine Gordon.
Because I'm happy.
She'll be back next week with another great show. And to learn more about Happiness First, visit LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. Be sure to subscribe and receive some fantastic free gifts. Lorraine wants to bring you more of what you want. so please make a comment on the show page here. Or you can email her at Lorraine@LorraineGordon.com. And thank you for listening.